chapter number 2, the gospel according to Luke in chapter number 2. I know we've been greatly encouraged this morning by the children's play, and we appreciate all of you being here, and I know it was a blessing to the children as well. And I promise this morning, I'm going to be brief. I know we've already been encouraged and blessed by what the children have done. That's kind of becoming my job around here, I think, as I'm kind of being labeled as the short sermon guy. So that's my goal today. We're going to bring a short sermon. Really not even bringing a sermon as much as just a thought this morning. Something that I want to leave you with. Luke chapter number 2. And we know this story. We're going to pick up in verse number 8. So just to catch you up, Jesus Christ has been born. We find that in verse 7. We're going to pick up in verse number 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray this morning and we'll dive into our text. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, we thank you that you're the reason for the season. Lord, we thank you for this children's play this morning, how you used them. And Lord, we're just reminded once again through this play that, Lord, Christmas is about you. It's all about you. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning that you draw our focus to that. Lord, there's a lot of good things going on here this morning, but also there's been a lot of bad news and things. And, Lord, people have walked in these doors today burdened, Lord, carrying something, carrying a heavy load. They're struggling with decisions or struggling with news they've gotten or whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that you would just help us this morning to clear all those distractions and help us just to get our eyes focused upon you, Lord, the reason for this Christmas season. Lord, again, we thank you for how many blessings. I pray that you'd be with me this morning. Use me as just a tool in your hand as you would see fit and help me to preach what thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name. I do pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I want to draw your attention to that little three-letter word, joy. If I could tell you this morning, of course, Christmas, what's one of the big things about Christmas? It's gifts, right? All of us like receiving gifts, and all of us like giving gifts, but gifts are a big part of what Christmas is, and a lot of us have big lists, maybe some of us have small lists, but we all have gifts that we want this season, whether it's material, whether it's a family matter, whatever the case may be, we are all looking for some sort of gift this Christmas. And if I could say to you, whether they realize it or not, everyone in this world is looking for something. And if I could tell you what it is, we find it in verse number 10. Everyone in this world today is looking for joy. Do you know that everyone wants to be happy? No one wakes up desiring to be sad every day of their life. Everybody wants joy. And here, these angels come to the shepherds and offer them the greatest gift that these shepherds could ever be offered. And it's this, joy. And may I say to you this morning, I want to offer you from God's word this same gift. This small three-letter word that makes a big difference in our lives. That has a big impact. It's joy. How do we get joy? First, before we talk about how we get joy, I first want to clarify what joy is. Notice what the angels say to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great happiness. Is that what the verse says? No. It doesn't say happiness. It says joy. I think a lot of times we get these two words confused. If I could just be totally honest with you, I think sometimes happiness is just cheap. Happiness changes depending on our circumstances, doesn't it? Some of you this morning walked in this building happy. And some of you this morning walked in this building not happy. Those of you who came in not happy, most likely that happiness has been affected by some sort of circumstance, in your life this morning. Maybe you missed your alarm. Maybe you and your wife got in a spat. Maybe you had trouble getting your kids ready this morning, and that's affected your happiness. Maybe you've been cut off in traffic. Our happiness can change very easily depending upon our circumstances. If I give you an example, so me and my wife, the Lord has actually just given us a great, wonderful gift. My wife just gave birth to our first child, Cora. She's almost 2 weeks old, and I remember the very moment she got here. I was so happy. I mean, as happy as I think I could ever get. And there were so many emotions that flooded my heart in just that 1 second. As soon as she got there, I mean, my eyes just instantly, it was like waterfalls just bust out of my eyes. I was crying. I couldn't control myself. I was shaking. I was just so happy. I mean, overwhelmed with happiness. How many of you have ever been happy like that before? And if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That happiness is just a wonderful feeling. And Ivy had a similar experience. It was actually kind of funny. We were on our way back home. We were leaving the hospital, praise the Lord. We had been there spending the night for 2 nights. Believe it or not, that's not really where I enjoy spending the night. I like sleeping in the comfort of my own home. And we've been in this hospital for a couple days, and we were ready to get out. And as we're driving away, I look in my rearview mirror, and I see Ivy crying. And the first thing that floods my mind is, oh no, we've got to turn around and go back to Erlanger. We've got to see the doctor again. I've got to go back into this traffic. If you've ever been to Erlanger, I was thinking, I've got to find another parking spot and walk another 5 miles to get to the first doctor I can find. All these things were flooding my mind. And I told Ivy, I said, Ivy, what's wrong? Do we got to go back? And she said, no, I'm just so happy. And of course, I was relieved she was happy. Right? That's how happiness works. Our circumstances, that's what dictates our happiness. And then, of course, it's a couple days later, I told Ivy, I was trying to be a good husband. I said, listen, I'll stay awake with the baby. You go to bed. I'll stay awake with her. I'm sure it can't be that bad. And my happiness changed that night. Why? Because every time I tried to lay down, she would cry. And every time I tried to lay down, she was hungry. And what happened? I wasn't as happy as I was that moment in the hospital when I first saw her. Right? We all know what I'm saying. Yes. Happiness yes. changes. Yes. And honestly, happiness is cheap. But if I could say this to you, joy is totally different. And in fact, biblical joy means that we can have joy despite of the circumstances that we are going through. If I could give you an example, I think the best example in all of Scripture is Paul. When we think about Paul, Paul was a man who had joy. There's no denying he had joy. I mean, I look at his life and they'd say to Paul, Paul, we're going to beat you. We're going to beat the mess out of you. And here's what he said. We find in 2 Corinthians, for this momentary light affliction. Oh, you're going to beat me to death? Well, that's nothing in view of eternity. This momentary light affliction is nothing compared to eternity. They say, Paul, we're going to throw you in prison. What does Paul do? He says, all right, no problem. Just give me a hymnal. I'm going to sing till the prison bars open, and then I'm going to convert all your guards. And then those guards are going to tell their families, and they're going to convert their families. And they say, Paul, we're going to kill you. Right? We're going to kill you. And Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. Listen, I've finished my race. Hey, I'm ready. What is that? That's joy. And we find that joy is not decided by the circumstances that we're going through. Paul was told he's going to be beaten, going to be in prison, and ultimately going to be killed. And he says, that doesn't affect my joy. What was it that Paul had? Here's what he had. And we find it in this verse. He had this thing that was presented to the shepherds. He had Jesus. He had Jesus. The greatest gift that was ever given to us was Jesus Christ coming to earth. And may I say to you that that is the only thing this Christmas season that you will discover that will bring you joy. Listen, you can go all around and find all kinds of things this Christmas season that will bring you happiness, that will put a smile on your face, but ultimately, the only thing that can bring you joy is Jesus. I want to say to the Christians in here this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to cherish Him once again. This Christmas season, we get so caught up in good things, right? We get caught up in Christmas plays and cantatas and caroling and parades and gifts and spending time with family, but something gets neglected many times, doesn't it? We forget to cherish the only thing that can really bring us joy. And I'll encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning I want to encourage you to come, that you can discover this only thing that this world can offer that can bring you joy, and that's Jesus Christ. I want us to notice, when Jesus Christ comes to these shepherds, have you ever thought about Jesus' birth? I mean, have you ever thought about it? So he's born in a manger, in a barn with animals. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the Savior of the world, the most powerful sovereign being that there ever is, ever has been, ever will be, comes to earth and says, you know what, I'm going to be born with sheep in a manger. And then the first people that I'm going to tell are shepherds, like the lowest of the low in society. I'm going to go tell the shepherds who don't really talk to anybody. All they do is watch sheep. I'm going to go tell them. You know, most kings, when they come to the earth, they're looking to make a stir. I mean, you would think that Jesus Christ would say, you know what, I'm going straight to the king and I'm going to let him know my son's born. I'm taking over. I'm going to let him know that all the problems that this world is experiencing, all of the issues that my people are having, I'm going to fix all of them. But may I say to you, that's not what Jesus did. It's interesting to me, if you read in the gospel record, specifically in the New Testament, you're going to find that at this point in history, God's people are being oppressed by the Roman government. They're basically slaves to the Roman government. And it's interesting, when Jesus comes, he doesn't take that away from them. When he comes to the shepherds, he said, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver you from all your problems. And he didn't say, I'm going to take over the Roman government. You're never going to have to deal with that again. He didn't say that. He didn't say, shepherds, I'm going to give you a better job. I'm going to promote you guys to working in the palace. That's not what he did. But what he did say is, listen, no matter what's going on this Christmas season, here's what I am going to do. I'm going to bring you joy. And notice the joy that the shepherds got. I love the end of the verse. And the shepherds returned, verse number 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They're so happy that Jesus has brought them joy. They don't even care that they're going to wake up the next morning and watch sheep again, because they've just been overwhelmed with the joy that God brings them. Now, I think a lot of times we take for granted that everyone's happy at Christmas time. I think a lot of times we're under this assumption, and it's wrong, that Christmas is the greatest time of the year for everybody we come in contact with. You know, I was just studying this week, and it surprised me, to be honest. But did you know that suicide rates go up in America in the month of December? Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year, that's when suicide rates are going up. Do you know that many people this Christmas, it may be the worst Christmas they'll ever have? Maybe they're celebrating Christmas for the first year without that family member they've always had by their side at Christmas. Many people are experiencing Christmas with bad news right on their doorstep. They're walking into this Christmas season with bad news trailing them, handcuffed to them. Many people are not having the most wonderful time of the year this Christmas. And this morning, maybe that's you. I'll tell you this morning, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you say, Clay, this isn't the most wonderful time of the year for me. In fact, to be honest, it's one of the hardest times. Loss of a loved one, or this bad news that I'm dealing with, it just struggles. And I can't get that joy, and I can't find that happiness in this Christmas season. And I want to encourage you this morning to go back and cherish Jesus once again. He's the only one that can bring you joy. I'm not going to say to you that I understand how that works. I don't know how God can do that. I don't know how God can overcome the greatest of the circumstances we're dealing with, but that's what he offers us. It's joy. Eternal joy. And if I could just encourage you in this way, you say, Clay, the things that I'm dealing with on earth are just too great for me, and they probably are. You're going to go to a lot of churches and see, they're going to tell you things like this. You can have your best life now. They're going to tell you things like, God is going to solve all your problems when you get saved. And they're going to tell you things like, you're never going to be in debt again. You're never going to miss a bill again. There's going to be a lot of churches and a lot of people in America today that tell you those kind of things. And I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. I just mean to be biblical this morning. Let me tell you, that's not true. I wish I could tell you that God was going to pay all of your bills from here on out when you come to him. And I wish I could tell you that God was never going to allow you to get sick again. And God was never going to allow you to experience problems again. I wish I could tell you that, but unfortunately, I'd be a liar. And by the way, the people that preach that, they're liars. But what I can tell you is this. Jesus Christ offers joy in the midst of all of those things that you'll go through this Christmas season. Church, this morning, listen, joy is a real gift. It is, I mean, it's as if I could wrap it up for you, put a bow on it, and gift it to you. That is how real joy is. And I want to encourage you this morning, you can experience it. Will we all bow our heads and close our eyes? I'm going to have the pastor come here in just a moment. And you say, Clay, have everyone be 100% honest here. You'd raise your hand and you say, Clay, I know that there's been a time in my life that I've met Jesus, that he's become my Savior, that he's been real to me. I know that when I die, I'm on my way to heaven because Christ has saved me. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Say, Clay, I've experienced that joy of being a child of God. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And you say, Clay, to be honest with you, I haven't experienced that joy before of knowing that I'm Christ's child, of knowing that he saved me. I don't know if I've ever met Jesus. If that's you, will you raise your hand for me? I'm not here to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, Clay, I don't know if I'm a child of the King. And then lastly, may I ask you this. Maybe some of you in here, and I'm praying for you, say, Clay, this Christmas, to be honest, it's going to be tough for me this year. I'm not going to get in your business. I'm not going to be nosy. That's between you and the Lord. But you say, Clay, this Christmas is going to be a little tough for me this year because of certain circumstances, whatever that may be. If that's you, will you just raise your hand for me? There's nothing to be ashamed of that. Will you just raise your hand for me and say, Clay, be honest, this Christmas, I don't know how good it's going to be for me. May I encourage you in this way? There's joy in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today, please come. Accept him as your Savior. And if you do know him, will you just cherish him once again, Pastor?